Okay, I want to welcome everybody to our Wednesday evening Bible study. We are in Genesis chapter 6. May not get through the whole chapter. There's a lot here to look at and to consider. A lot of controversy here. So as you'll remember from last week in chapter 5, we had just talked about the long lifespans of those that lived before the flood. And the last verse says, and Noah was 500 years old and begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And then beginning at the first verse of chapter 6, now it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. So, who are the sons of God? Well, those who study the scriptures quite a bit will say that title, a son of God, is someone or something that's a direct creation of God. For instance, Adam was a direct creation of God. He wasn't born as a baby. Eve would have been a direct creation, even though he used a part of Adam to make her. Instead of having to use the dust of the earth, he was able to use part of Adam to make her, but she still would be a direct creation. The angels, direct creations of God. Angels were created, fully mature, adult angels. And as far as we know, all male. The Bible doesn't mention anything about female angels. That's all we have to go on there. And then the other thing is, Christians are considered sons of God. Because we are born again, we are born of God, we are new creations. So in that sense, we are also sons of God. Now, I need to read a little further before I can comment some more. So that talks about sons of God. What does that mean? Okay, it says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, there's two theories on this. Some people believe that he was going to eventually shorten the lifespan to 120 years, but most people believe that he was giving them 120 years before judgment. Okay? So what he's saying here is 120 more years, the flood's coming. We'll find that out later. And then is where it gets interesting. There were giants on the earth in those days. Sometimes this word that's translated giants is also translated fallen ones. Sometimes it's translated tyrants or bullies. But a lot of them do translate it giants. There were giants on the earth in those days and also afterward. Now, is that talking about after the flood? A lot of people think that's talking about after the flood. Remember, Moses is writing this down, you know, his comments and stuff. When the sons of God, which many believe to have been angels, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. So what it says about them is that they were giants. They were also mighty men, men of renown. Okay, so let's look at this. One objection, there are a lot of people who object to this theory that these sons of God were angels and that they came and they had sexual relations with women, and then that produced these giants, these great mighty men, which we're going to call, and we find out later, they're called Nephilim, N-E-P-H-I-L-I-M. But one objection to this, people say that it's impossible for angels to have had sexual relations with women because they are spirit beings. Well, what about the three that visited Abraham? There was at least two angels, and perhaps the angel of the Lord, which would have been Jesus, pre-incarnate. But there were three there. And then there were two, if you'll remember, that visited Lot. Remember when he was in Sodom? And they came, and the men of Sodom, they wanted to have sexual relations with them because they were homosexuals. So apparently they were in bodily form there. So that kind of does away with the fact that they're spirit beings. They're not all the time. They can manifest themselves in the flesh. And then also I found this verse, Hebrews 13:2. Remember this verse? It says, "Do not neglect hospitality, because through it some have entertained angels without knowing it." Anybody here ever thought they were afterwards that person was an angel?
Yes, my sister did.
That person might have been not an angel like a good person, but an angel. Angel. Yeah.
Well, it was a person, but she thought it was an angel.
No, that's what I mean. But some people will call a nice person an angel.
Yeah. She thought it was an angel because he just up and disappeared.
But see, that shows again that they can assume human form. I mean, if you see somebody, maybe even interact with them later on, go, man, that person must have been an angel. And we had that situation in Columbus. Mm-hmm. Had a nurse come in and gave us some medical advice about Jennifer. And she left, and the advice went against the doctor's intentions. And so we told the doctor we were refusing this medication. He really blew up at us. "Who told you that?" And we said, "Well, I'm pretty sure it was a nurse." "Well, what did she look like?" And he said, "We don't have anybody that looks like that here at this hospital."
So, well, if these were good angels, they wouldn't be having intercourse with women.
No, I'm just saying they were good. I didn't say that at all.
I know.
I'm just using this verse to show that they can take human form.
Okay.
So these people that want to criticize this theory, their main verse that they use is Mark 12:24-25. And it says, Jesus said to them, "Aren't you deceived?" Because this was what he was talking about here. This was when the Sadducees tried to tempt him and say, "Well, if a woman had seven brothers and they all kept dying off, who would she be married to in the hereafter?" And he says, "Aren't you deceived for this reason? Because you don't know the scriptures or the power of God. For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels in heaven." Well, that's true. The angels in heaven do not marry. Because, like you said, they're the good angels, because they're still in heaven. But these other angels weren't good. They sinned. They rebelled against God.
And that's what these are, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And it says here, angels, again, like I said before, they're created directly from the hand of God. They're made to live forever. So there's no need for them to produce offspring, because they continue to live. If humans did not produce offspring, they would have died out when Adam and Eve passed away. So we are constantly losing and gaining individual humans so that the human race continues on. The Bible doesn't say that the angels can't have sex with women, just that there was no need. And they were never given the mandate to be fruitful and multiply. He never told the angels that at all.
Yeah, but you said when we're born again, we're considered sons of God.
Yes.
We are.
So couldn't have been a Christian having this sex?
No, this was way back, even before the flood. Before the flood. So there was no Christianity or anything like that. Way before the flood. Okay, so the other alternative is the Sethite view. They call it the Sethite view because it has to do with Seth. Remember, Seth was the third, not the third one born, but the third. He was the replacement for Abel, who was killed. And so this view is the one, they say that the sons of God were the descendants of Seth, and that the daughters of men were the descendants of Cain. In this view, it's taught in many seminaries, it's taught in a lot of churches today. And some claim that the fallen angel view is only recent, that it's not true. But remember, there was a translation back 250 BC where they translated the Hebrew into Greek. When Alexander the Great went and conquered everybody, he wanted everybody to speak Greek. Well, they had like 70 different scholars translate this Bible from Hebrew to Greek. It's called the Septuagint, which means 70. And they believed in the fallen angel theory, even back then. Also, a lot of Jewish historians, Josephus was one of them, a lot of the early Christian writers believed in the fallen angel view. Everybody did at that time. But then, around the 5th century, which would be the 400s, this theory came under attack, and that's when they started coming up with the Sethite view, and it became more popular. Now, here are the problems. Here's the problems with the view from about Seth. Why would the line of Seth be called the sons of God? Why wouldn't it be called the sons of Seth? And why would the line of Cain be called the daughters of men? Why wouldn't they be called the daughters of Cain? Also, why would their offspring be giants or mighty men or anything like that? Why would the offspring of two human lines be any more special or different than any other two human lines crossing? And why would the descendants of Seth be any more God-fearing than any other line? Just because they were related to Seth or a descendant of Seth, why would they automatically be a really good person? So, you know, people aren't necessarily born with a tendency to be good or bad based on their ancestors. Each person must decide for themselves. So, again, this word in the Hebrew that's translated giants is N-E-P-H-I-L, Nephil, which is where we get the word Nephilim. Like I said, it can also mean bully, it can also mean tyrant, but many people say it simply means fallen ones. So in this case, it would be fallen angels producing these giants.
Can I read something?
Yes, sure.
Okay, this is in Jude.
I'm going to get to that.
I've
got it down.
Okay, did you also get the one in 2 Peter?
Yeah, I sure did.
Okay,
here we go. Yeah, good work. Okay, I want to read to you a scripture that's here in 6. Well, let me read it in the New King James Version. Let's see. Going back to the scripture, verse 5. Okay. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I've made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so verse 9, I know what you're talking, you're thinking of that song, aren't you? Yeah, Statler Brothers did a song. It's really good. Then in verse 9, this is the one I want to talk about. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Now, this is the New King James Version. The King James says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. The Holman Christian Standard Bible says, these are the family records of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among his contemporaries. Noah walked with God. Then the NIT says, this is the account of Noah. Noah was a godly man. He was blameless among his contemporaries. And the English Standard Version does the same thing. So there's a big difference between blameless among his contemporaries and perfect in his generations. Okay. I personally think it may have been perfect in his generations, and these other versions changed it around because it didn't fit perhaps their theory that they were looking at. This opens up a whole can of worms, this phrase perfect in his generations. And it also kind of helps explain another reason why God sent the flood. Okay. In Genesis 3:15, this is when we covered it just a few weeks ago. This is when God is talking to Satan, who is in the serpent's body at this time. And he's telling him his punishment. He says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head. And so he says offspring, but he's not talking about all the people, because he comes out and says he. He's talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is going to bruise your head and you'll bruise his heel. Well, he bruised his heel at the cross, but Jesus won ultimately and he will eventually totally crush his head. And so Satan knows that. And so Satan was trying to do everything he could do to keep Jesus from being born. He was trying to do everything he could do to keep Jesus from being the seed of the woman. So you've got to corrupt the seed of the woman. Now go back in where it says Noah was perfect in his generations. And the way it says it, it's almost like his was the only one that was perfect. Okay? So a lot of people believe, and myself included, that Noah's line, you know, going all the way back to Adam, didn't have any corrupted seed in it. Well, where would this corrupted seed come from? Fallen angels having sex with women. The seed of those unions would not be fully human. So if you, and then if their seed were able to again mate again with human women, then you start, you see what starts happening. More and more and more people have some of the angel seed in them.
That's why there was only eight on the boat.
And they're not truly, you know, and so if you can corrupt, yes, if you can corrupt that, then Jesus couldn't be born because there would be no one left who was fully human. You know, there'd always be, and this is, there's another verse that talks about corruption, how they were corrupt. Well, you can be corrupt in the way you act, but you also could be corrupt in your DNA. You know, so that's another thing to look at.
So you're saying that Noah's bloodline was the only bloodline that was not
corrupt. And that's the one that we read about in chapter 5.
The
one we looked at in chapter 5, that's his bloodline.
Okay.
And that's why, remember I said, why this one? Why did they choose this particular bloodline? That's the only one they chose to talk about going all the way back like that. Why did they specifically look at this one? It could very well be that it was the only pure one left. And God's thinking, if I don't bring the flood, eventually this one's going to be corrupted. And then there's no way Christ can be born. So Satan was trying to stop this from happening. Okay, now, like Terry was talking, there's two scriptures in the New Testament that talks about this and seems to support this theory. Jude only has one chapter, verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, which is heaven, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day. So, angels which kept not their first estate. That sounds to me like they left heaven and came down to earth because they weren't supposed to be on the earth. Okay? 2 Peter 2, chapter 2, verse 4. He says, and he's speaking that if you sin, judgment's coming. And he's talking about different things that happen. He says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. So here we have in Jude, angels which did not keep their first estate, they left heaven. Here we have in 2 Peter 2, 4, angels that sinned. And then in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 through 20, he says, for Christ also has once suffered for sins, as just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. The long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that's eight souls, were saved by water. So, when they speak of this prison, or where it talks about chains and darkness, they use the word Tartarus, T-A, like tartar, T-A-R-T-A-R, like what you get in your teeth, only it's Tartarus. And the only time it's used is in this connection. It's not used as the, nor, it's not, when they talk about hell, they don't use this word. This word is only used for this place where these angels were sent. Okay. So it's very interesting. A lot of people don't believe it. As a matter of fact, the pastor that was here before me, we were talking about it one time. He'd never even heard of it. Never even heard of the theory. He just assumed that the theory about Seth was correct. And even J. Vernon McGee goes with the theory about Seth. You know, and he has his reasons and everything. And he said, you can believe the angel theory, but if you want to be right, believe me. But, you know, and I agree 99% of the time with Jagger and McGee, but not this time. I do believe in this theory. Let me just read one more verse. We'll do the rest of it later. He says, the earth, let's see. Okay, Noah walked with God, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Then he says, the earth also was corrupt. There's that word. Was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence, so God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. So again, that word can be taken just, you know, people were just doing terrible things, or it could be taken that they weren't pure. They were corrupted in that sense. So that word can have multiple meanings. So again, it could be, and this is just a theory, but it could be one of the main reasons for the flood was because Satan was trying to corrupt the human gene pool, if you will. And he did corrupt it up to a point, but not entirely. There was that one line, the line that went through Noah. And it makes sense, that phrase, perfect in his generations. I mean, why didn't it just say Noah was blameless, Noah was righteous or whatever, but it has in his generations. Kind of sounds like he's talking about, you know, his descendants. So
from Adam to Noah, that was a long time.
Well, yeah. Well, because those people lived such long ages, but that's chapter 5. That is what we're talking about is chapter 5. All these men are in this pure line. I'm not saying they were perfect people or anything like that.
Well, how come they weren't on the boat?
Well, they weren't. They died. Even Methuselah died.
Well, yeah, but if Noah had three sons, surely they had children.
Not at this point. Not at this point.
Really? Noah was 500 years old and he had three sons and they didn't have no kids?
Does it say how old he was when he had him? Wasn't he 500 when he had him?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Well, he was 500 when he had him. He was 600 when the flood came. So they were supposedly 100 years old. And apparently, they didn't have any children. The Bible doesn't say. I'm certain if they had, they would have been on the ark. You know, they would have been 100 if they were triplets.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then here's another little wrinkle I want to throw in here. Remember where it said, and also afterward? There were giants in the earth in those days and also afterward. And a lot of people think that means after the flood. We know there were giants after the flood, right?
Uh-huh.
Goliath, there was Og, there was these, he had a 12-foot bed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, David fought a bunch of giants and that sort of thing. The only thing that I can think of is that of those 8 people that got on the ark, remember, those 3 sons had 3 wives. Could be that there was some corrupted seed in one of those wives' DNA that got on the ark.
Well, I thought Ham somewhere that he isn't his line became corrupt. This is after.
Afterward, yeah.
Okay.
After the
the
flood.
Well, anyway, I thought, how come?
Mm-hmm. Right, but up to this point,
they probably did have kids after the flood.
They didn't have none before?
I didn't want them to.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they were too busy building the boat.
Possibly. I mean, possibly.
Yeah, I know.
Somebody else we read about last week in all that genealogy, they didn't have any kids until late.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you look at chapter 5, some of them were over 100 before they had their children. Of course, we have to remember they lived these super long lives. So maybe when you're 100 years old, it'd be like a teenager to us.
Jared
proportionally
lived 162 years and begot Enoch.
Yeah. So
yeah,
they would have. I still think
maybe they just didn't have them yet.
I still think they were triplets. I really do. And
yeah.
And I think that they would have all been 100 years old at the time of the flood because he was 500
back
when he
then,
had them.
That age was considered very, very young.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
today, people who have their children in their 20s and early 30s,
are young.
And mm-hmm. even if we can't think of a good reason, whether it's a really good reason or not, we just know they didn't for whatever reason. They just didn't do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I said you God know. Didn't want to.
Okay. Well, so. It, I, yeah, I
just
guess
to
not.
Simplify,
just,
like
but
it
it's, a
would.
It's a good question. It's a good thing to bring
I guess
up.
It don't make sense to me, but mm-hmm. that doesn't mean it. That's
well, that's how
one
we.
One of those questions to ask when you get there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how we learn when something doesn't make sense to us.
If I
we start
to
asking
know that,
questions.
I would have told you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there is scripture in here that says something on that order in the New Testament.
Yeah.
It ain't none of our business, basically, is what he says.
No, I was reading about Noah. Mm-hmm. I have a Bible encyclopedia.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I was reading in it last night or night before. And then. Said Noah, what's it? In the eyes of the Lord. And I started singing that song, couldn't get it out of my head.
Yes. Yeah, that was a really good album. They did a whole, it's called the New Testament. The whole album is songs that they wrote about the Bible. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It's a really fast song.
See, now my translation says that Noah was a righteous man and the only blameless person living on the earth at the time.
Right.
At that time.
Right. Well, and these...
And that's why everybody else drowned.
Yeah. And this says blameless among his contemporaries, which is about the same thing as what yours just said.
Okay.
So there's two ways that it's translated. It's translated like he was the only really righteous one, which even he wasn't. I mean, he wasn't totally blameless. Of course, he was a sinner. We all know that.
Right, but he did probably, up here it said that everybody else had wicked thoughts from the time basically they woke up till they went to bed.
Yeah, right.
And he didn't, or else he wouldn't have went over there and
right.
done what he did
right.
for the Lord.
He was the exception.
So my note under just and perfect on verse 9
mm-hmm.
says that these words together mean, quote, genuine righteousness, mm-hmm. end quote,
mm-hmm.
in contrast to the others of Noah's time.
Yeah.
How many of you, besides Terry and Marcella, have had really heard of the angel theory before? Had you heard of it, Julie?
Yes, I have a paper even at home that the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship gave me, and mm-hmm. it talks about it being angels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had not actually heard of this Sethite view.
Well, that's really interesting because most people it's the other way around. They've heard of the Sethite.
Well, see, you know how you always tell us about don't always go by your footnotes because
yeah.
I looked all this up this morning. And mine says. Some people have thought that the sons of God were fallen angels, but the sons of God were probably not angels because angels do not marry or reproduce.
See, there See? You go.
And then it
They're
goes,
not supposed to.
Right, then it goes to Matthew. Well, you know, that got questions. I like that link really
yeah,
well.
Yeah.
And he said, he's the guy, whoever it is that's talking, he said that, yes, Matthew does say that, but it doesn't say that they couldn't have,
right,
like you said.
The angels in heaven, which were they, if they weren't good angels, they wouldn't be in heaven. They
right.
don't do that.
That's right. That's exactly right. And then it goes on to this Seth thing. But I believe it's fallen angels because of those scriptures.
Right.
You know, where they're being held in
yes.
prison, hell, or wherever they are, and
right.
until judgment.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what I believe, too.
Now, the thing that I've not ever heard about before was how you were explaining about it being him perfect in generations, meaning his bloodline was pure, not that he was perfect, which I always struggled with when it was described that he was a perfect person, and that's why he didn't die in the flood, because we know he wasn't.
Right.
Right.
So
I'm sure he had great.
That makes more
yeah,
sense.
I'm sure he had great faith and probably was the most favored of all of them, with the exception of Enoch, of course. But you know, still we know that he was a sinner.
Well, Abraham was a righteous man.
Yeah.
Said.
And yet, yeah. and yet we know he committed sins too.
Yeah, and look
yeah.
what he did. Yeah.
Well, Adam blew it right in the beginning.
Yes, he certainly did. Yeah. He listened to his wife.
It can get really complicated.
He listened to his wife.
He listened to his wife, yeah. But I think it's really interesting. Really, really interesting. And we'll stop there.
Well, like you said, Pastor, God couldn't have wiped everybody off the face of the earth, because Christ wouldn't have been
right.
born.
Right. So he had to keep.
He had to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, just like the animals.
Right.
He had to take two of each.
Uh-huh.
Right.
So that they could reproduce. Yeah.
And he had to take mm-hmm. seven of some. Why did he take seven of some?
I read that for sacrifice.
Why?
Huh?
Why?
Because when they got off the ark, he was going to sacrifice some of the animals as an offering. So
would that be sheep?
Well, that wasn't that on
different,
the boat?
Whatever, huh?
Wasn't that on the boat that they sacrificed?
No, it was afterwards when they got off. Yeah.
Oh, see,
it was afterwards.
I thought it was during the time they were on the boat. That's why they had to take seven, I thought.
Well, I mean, only seven would have been. I mean, the flood would have destroyed the rest of them, so it doesn't make any difference whether you're on the boat or off the boat. It's only seven. There were only seven of each kind.
Animal.
I thought there was only...
Well, there was two of most of them, but there were certain ones that they were going to sacrifice when they got off the ark, and so they took seven of those. But everything else was just two. Most of them were two.
My Bible does not... Every time I think, when I'm reading it, that's a verse that'll have a footnote to explain something.
And then it doesn't.
Sometimes they don't.
It never explains anything very well. I'm not real happy with this one. This is one I got when those classes I took. I'm not real happy with the footnotes. I really don't feel like it tells me a whole lot more.
That's why I go to my encyclopedia of the Bible, and then I have three books.
I have a Strong's Concordance, but it's big and it's bulky.
See what I'm saying?
What?
This is in 7. It mm-hmm. says... When everything was ready, the Lord said to Noah, "Go in the boat with all your family, for among all the people of the earth, I can see that you alone are righteous. Take with you 7 pairs, male and female, of each animal I have approved for eating and for sacrifices, and take 1 pair for each of the others."
Mm-hmm.
And
where
also,
did you see that? Huh? Where is that?
7, the next chapter.
So when I read this, they're on the boat. They're not off the boat. They're on the boat.
But he didn't say do it right now. It's because they're going to have to make sacrifices when they get off the boat. We can find that. I think it talks about that when they get off the boat. But what they did, I think there's a verse that talks about it. But, yeah, they're going to have them the whole time they're on the boat. And then when they get off the boat, they're going to do the sacrificing. I've always thought that. I'm trying to remember if there's a scripture here that shows it.
Each animal I have approved for eating, there must be a male and female in each pair to ensure that all life will survive.
Oh, here we go. Verse 20 of chapter 8. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took a very clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar.
Is that 7?
That's after they're off the ark.
That's
yeah.
That's chapter 8, verse 20.
Verse 20.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
and then.
Mine's the same as his.
And then he says, "And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma." And then he said in his heart, "I will never again curse the ground for man's sake."
Oh, well, I'm confused because there in 7 it says, 7 days from now I will make the rain pour down and it will rain 40 days and wipe everything on the earth. And so I'm thinking when he says take the 7 that they're going to sacrifice for eating while they're on the boat. That's why I'm thinking that.
No. We'll cover it though, you know, in the weeks ahead. We'll be getting into it. And, yeah.
I wish
you
would sacrifice the snakes. I don't like snakes. I'm sorry.
All right. Okay. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this lesson today. There's so much here, Lord, and a lot of different theories. And Lord, we just ask the Holy Spirit to continue to guide us and make things plain to us. We're delving very deep in your word right now, dear Lord, and we're thankful for that, thankful for the scriptures, thankful that we live in a country right now where we can study the scriptures at will, and that we have all the scriptures, and we have the study Bibles to look at. And we thank you for that, dear Lord. And again, we just... thank you for being with us during this study and explaining things to us. Help us to open up some things to us so that we can have a better understanding of the scriptures and be able to share it with others too. In Jesus' name, amen.